This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to talk about the two biggest issues out there right now with all the distractions tonight. We're going to look back on some COVID stuff tonight. We're going to talk about some illegal immigration. Oh, man, it's a spicy show. And I'm right. It can be hard to keep the big deal the big deal. Isn't that a great phrase, by the way? You know where I heard that phrase? Here's a little rewind before we go into me being an oracle and the debt and all kinds of other stuff going on right now. You know where I heard that phrase? Long time ago, I was running for Congress in Arizona. I lost twice, but I ran for Congress in Arizona twice. I was a Republican nominee, so I won the primary and then lost the general election. And Pete Sessions, I actually think he's still around, but Pete Sessions is one of those salty old GOPers in the House back then. He was already in Congress, and he was going to fly out there and help me try to raise some money and campaign and win my congressional race. And when I sat down with Pete, he's asking how's the race going, whatnot. And he said to me, Jesse, just make sure you're keeping the big deal. And I said, all right, I will, but I don't know exactly, what do you mean? What are you talking about? So I made him clarify, and here's what it means. It's easy in life, whether you're running for Congress, whether you're just living your normal life, husband, father, kid, whatever, employee, it's easy to get distracted by the small stuff, especially today when there are distractions everywhere, aren't there? And I'm not doing the back in my day thing, I'm really not, but there are distractions everywhere. Shoot, they're in our hands at all times, always a distraction. I was talking to my son the other day, one of the times where we let him have his phone. I had a 5-minute conversation with me and hear a daggone word. He's on his phone. I took it away again. We have to keep the big deal the big deal. Well, the big deal is the United States of America for you and me. It is a big deal because not just because we love the country and we're patriots. It's a big deal because the United States of America is the country in which we live. I know that's a dumbed down point. Just stay with me. And we need the country where we live, where my sons live, where hopefully the grandsons I have one day, or granddaughters, you know what I'm talking about, where they will live and their kids will live and their kids will live. We need the United States of America to stay together and stay prosperous and stay free, don't we? That's what we need. So what are the big deals that are going to end the United States of America. Let me ask you something. What you've talked about today with friends, family, political people, are they things that are critical for the United States of America? Or are they distractions? Even if they're, you know, important, are they distractions? We spend a lot of time on distractions. There are two things that will end the United States of America. We are the most blessed by God country in the history of the world. I really believe that, not just because of our freedoms, our natural resources, a big ocean on each side. We're even geographically blessed. It's crazy how blessed we are. There are only two things that can sink a country with a $20, $21 trillion economy: illegal immigration and debt. Illegal immigration and debt. The boat taking on water is the only thing that can bring this boat down. And this is not something I've just come to recently. I realize people are just now starting to wake up and see that we're going to pay $1.7 trillion in debt interest alone next year, and they're doing the math, and the numbers aren't adding up. I'm not Johnny come lately to this. I've been screaming about it for ages. I really lost my mind during COVID when I watched what was happening then. The GOP lined up for the last 4 years. 4 years. And voted yes, and voted yes, and voted yes, and voted yes on multiple massive spending bills. Truth is, no one cares. And no one's going to care until the whole house of cards come crashing down. And everyone's going to look around and they're going to say, well, how'd this happen? How'd this happen? Now, well, here's the hard truth of it. Talk about making you uncomfortable. Here's the hard truth of it. When that happens, you and I will both have to go look in the mirror and say, that's on me. I never demanded better. So I never got better. You get what you get. Don't throw a fit. Man, I had so much hair back then. Anyway, look, our debt situation, just because of entitlements alone, set aside foreign aid and stuff like that, just entitlements alone, pre-COVID, our debt situation was going to doom us. Doom us, because it grows exponentially. The more people are retiring, the more they're taking from it, that we're not getting the production into it that we were taking from it. I'll put it to you this way. Actually, this is the best way I could describe it. The entitlement situation in this country alone, it was the car at the top of the hill facing down the road, and there was a cliff at the end of the road. And what happened was we didn't, you know, start the car, but we threw it in neutral. And the car was already rolling. It was already heading down the cliff. And what we needed at the time, and this is for years, this is, you know, probably predates you, predates me, but what we needed is we needed an adult to recognize it and have the courage to hop in the moving car, press the brake, put it in park, throw on the emergency brake, or even better, get in the car, start it, put it in reverse and get it back up to the top of the hill. Let's get away from that cliff. That's what we needed. That's what we've needed forever. We've never had even one adult even attempt to do so. Not in the Democrat Party and not in the Republican Party. All they've ever done, Republican presidents, Democrat senators, Republican senators, it doesn't matter who they are, all they've done is spend and spend and spend and spend and spend. So each and every person, instead of hopping in the car to throw it in reverse and back it up, every person has actually hopped in the car, started the car, and then gassed it faster and faster and faster, more, 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 more spending, more spending, more spending. And then COVID comes. This was pre-COVID. And then COVID comes, and we take everything that has us jetting towards that cliff, and we just punch the gas even more. It's like we gave us a juice of nitrous, heading right for it now. Republicans, more stimmy money, shut down the economy, another stimulus check, here's another trillion here, here's another trillion there. And then, and this shows you how insane these people are in D.C., after all that insane COVID spending, where we're just hammering the gas and printing money and blowing it out of the water. Well, nobody slowed down. they didn't slow down.
COVID's long gone. It never really was here that bad. COVID's long gone. All the lockdown stuff, long gone. Yet the deficits, the debt, it's all going up at pretty much the same pace. So we got in during COVID and hammered the car with nitrous. And once COVID left, we still haven't stopped. And now the cliff is coming. What I said about the interest on the debt next year should be staggering to every person watching. So allow me to explain it in this way. Very quickly, as in next year, the interest on the debt is probably going to be the largest item in the budget. And very shortly after that, probably the next year, it will be by far the largest item in the budget. And very, very shortly after that, you're not going to be able to make the interest payments. Now, let me ask you something, just so we can lay all this out here so we're all on the same page. If you take out a home loan, get a mortgage, buy a home, and let's say it's an interest-only loan. Okay, whatever. Didn't have enough money to pay on the principal. I get it. I've had one myself. What happens when you stop paying your payments? If, let's say, you don't have the money, what happens? Yeah. As a nation, here's how it works. When we start missing interest payments, other nations around the world will stop buying our debt. That will take away our ability to spend more than we make. Everything stops like that. And that is maybe the best case scenario, because the worst case scenario is probably the more likely one. Warren Buffett actually talks about it here. I'll show you in a second. The more likely scenario is this. All these dirt balls in D.C., Republican and Democrat, when that debt crisis gets here, they're going to look out at the population of this country like hungry wolves look at a wounded baby deer crawling across the prairie, and they're going to come for you, and they're going to come for me. And when I say come for us, I'm talking about our money. They're going to print us into death, and they're going to tax us into death, and it is coming. Don't just take it from this oracle. Listen to the Oracle of Omaha, Warren Buffett.
I would say with the present fiscal policies, I think that something has to give, and I think that higher taxes are quite likely. They may decide that someday they don't want the fiscal deficit to be this large, because that has some important consequences, and they may not want to decrease spending a lot, and they may decide they'll take a larger percentage of what we earn, and we'll pay it.
How could we get here? That's really the question, isn't it? How could we take all these blessings from God? This prosperous nation, all this freedom, all this stuff. How could we be so careless and irresponsible with it that now here we are? I mean, we're deadbeats. We've buried ourselves financially so badly, we're deadbeats? Look, I'm sorry to put it that way. That hurts to say about, you know, me. I'm an American citizen, the country I love. But that uncle you have who just got his fourth car repoed, and he's always borrowing money from somebody, and he's maxed out 3 credit cards, and he's living on the street right now, what do you call him? You call him a deadbeat, because he took any blessing, every blessing he ever had, and he squandered it all, and he borrowed endless amounts of money, just ruined us. And look, part of this is the morons we have running this country. And they're morons, and most Americans don't actually know they're morons. It's not that you can't get people to criticize the government or politicians. That's always easy. This guy's an idiot and that guy sucks. That's easy. But what people don't really, really grasp, most Americans, you will, but the normies out there, what they won't grasp is this, that these highly, highly educated people, Harvard and Yale and all these things, they're actually, because the education system is broken and communist and awful, our most educated people are actually the dumbest people on the planet. And these are the people who run the monetary system.
The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
Why does the government even borrow?
Well, again, some of this stuff gets, some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money, and it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Since they sell bonds and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah, so a lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money and then it uses that money to, I don't get it. I don't know what they're talking about. Like, because it's like the government clearly prints money. It does it all the time, and it clearly borrows. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So I don't think there's anything confusing there.
What else do I have to say? These are the people who run the financial system, and now our elites, the ones who should be trying to save us. You know, if they had any sense of honor or duty or obligation, and you're the Treasury Secretary, the head of the Fed, President, Senate, you should be meeting right now to try to save America, try to save our way of life, to make hard decisions, hard cuts. This has to go, this has to go. My goodness, we have to get rid of this. That's what they should be doing. But now, when we need them the most, they've just become, all of them, become mouthpieces for the regime, trying to convince everyone that the boat isn't actually sinking. Janet Yellen, I mean, she's basically given up at this point in time. Here she is out here now with everyone suffering, grocery prices up 40%, and the Treasury Secretary is now just out there telling you how great everything is.
I think we've got a good, strong economy. We've got very strong domestic demand. Consumers are holding up. Some low-income consumers are perhaps exhausting their buffers of saving that they built up during the pandemic. We're seeing a little bit more distress at the household level there. But generally, households are in very good financial shape. Our financial system is generally quite strong.
Yeah. Anyway, take care of yourself, all right? And now's the time to cut some costs. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Speaking of cutting costs, not just the government, you and me, it's time to tighten the belt and prepare ourselves for some rocky times. Getting rid of your timeshare would be a good idea, no? Jesse, I'd love to. Easy for you to say. No, it's easy for all of us to say because of Lone Star Transfer. The only people who think they're stuck in their timeshare are people who have not found out about Lone Star Transfer. They are a family business that will legally and permanently get you out of your timeshare. They've been doing this for ages. Over 20,000 timeshare owners are legally and permanently out of their timeshare because of Lone Star Transfer. What did they do? They made a phone call. Just call Lone Star Transfer. Stop calling the timeshare company. Stop emailing them. They're going to try to keep you there for life, and call Lone Star Transfer. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year? I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you an NYU student?
No, I'm not.
Why are you guys wearing masks? Like, if you guys are, you know, proud of what you're standing for, how come so many people are hiding their faces?
I think that's a good question and a different interpretation of wearing masks than I'm used to. I find that this crowd skews more like pandemic and COVID conscious. So that's the reason that, I mean, personally, that's why I'm wearing a mask. I get sick and I think a lot of my friends do too.
With their nose sticking out the top of it. Just joining me now, Tracy Beans, editor-in-chief, Uncover DC. She really does some really, really sharp work. When she digs into something, get ready. Tracy, I love the vast theater. It's just so weird because I never bought into it. You and I, we never bought into it in the beginning, but it's still going on for people. And it's just, you're like looking at psychosis in real time. I can't figure it out.
That was hysterical. I almost wasn't able to contain myself. Like, tell me you have no idea about anything without telling me. That was crazy.
Okay, Tracy, what should I make of all the mask stuff we see there? Honestly, I'm a cynical person, as you well know. I looked at it and just thought, okay, they're just using this to disguise themselves. No one wants to get exposed as being some dirty commie nutball, so they're just using the mask thing. It's not more complicated than that, right? I mean, they're using these things to knock over convenience stores in Philadelphia.
Well, I think from the organization standpoint at the top, they're telling them that maybe. But truthfully, we all know there's a double entendre to the mask. I mean, it's obviously but she's not even a student. She's wearing a mask below her nose. She has no idea what she's doing. She's completely programmed. She's like a zombie. But there are people out there that are using scarves and things like that as masks, just like Fauci told us was okay. And they're doing it to hide their faces. And then other people see them like, oh, COVID. It's so crazy. I still can't get over it.
That reminds me. I never did get into the cool face scarf thing. Dang, that's us. All right, Tracy, I want to talk about actually the COVID stuff, speaking of Fauci and everything else, because you wrote something that was really, really good. I thought it was a great read. It's something, it's hard for me to do, but the good that came from COVID and the lockdowns and all the insanity, all that stuff still makes me want to kill somebody. And there were good things that came from it. Please, the floor is yours.
Great, awesome. Listen, we can live our lives every single day being absolutely infuriated and angry and full of rage, or we can try something different because the rage really hasn't worked. I've been doing it for 20 years. I'm finished, Jesse. I'm done with the rage. So on that same tack, I was like, what good came of this? Plenty. Number one, you know, we heard a lot about kids being stuck at home with their parents, parents being stuck at home working with kids or being with their kids. But in a lot of families, that was wildly beneficial for the family union. I know in my case, I got to spend a ton more time with my kids than I ever would have been able to spend before. And because I'm a good parent, that worked out in our favor. And I'm sure in many families across the country, that was the case. We also got to see what was going on in our children's schools, the way that they sneakily, you know, they put in, you know, DEI and all kinds of other stuff into the curriculum that we never, ever would have seen before. We were able to see it and take action to take more initiative to fix our kids' education if they're attending public schools. A lot of people saw what was going on and said, we can't fix this. I'm taking my kids out of school and homeschooling them. Homeschooling took a huge, you know, trajectory forward during the pandemic and now still. And that also led to parents and adults being like, why am I driving an hour to work each day, sitting in traffic, frustrated and angry when I can do something else, or they picked up hobbies that they've forgotten about or whatever. And, you know, this work from home thing is not going away. Just look, there's buildings closing down everywhere. Nobody wants to go sit in an office anymore. And that led to people taking a bigger initiative on their health. After the pandemic junk food phase got over with, people realized, okay, can't trust my doctors anymore, can't trust my hospitals anymore. What can I do? Let me see what I can do to make myself well on the inside. And they started doing that. That means more spirituality, more religious practice, eating healthier, cutting processed foods from their diets, et cetera, so on and so forth. So there was a multi-pronged positive that came out of it.
Well, look, I wouldn't say all of us have cut processed foods out of our diet, but we don't have to talk about me right now, Tracy. Okay.
Maybe we should, Jesse.
Big Pharma. Maybe we should. Speaking of Big Pharma and all this evil crap, Pfizer, you know, the Antichrist. I did see they're out there doing some great work now, and I thought this was very inspiring. They're now focusing on cancer. And I just think it's great that this company that maybe pushed something that was, oh, I don't know, absolutely poisonous into the arms of so many people, they're going to tackle cancer now. Isn't that inspiring to you?
It's so inspiring and just so coincidental, Jesse. I mean, it has nothing to do with the fact that cancer rates in young people have skyrocketed. It has nothing to do with the fact that there's reports and studies coming out now about the link between this mRNA gene product and cancer rates. Nothing at all. There's no other cash cow looming right behind the curtain. It's just charity. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. What good people. You know what? I want to circle back to this food thing because it really is true. My wife is just like you, one of these super duper health freaks. Everything's organic and all this stuff. So I have to hear about it all the time. But I'll tell you, over enough time, she really has worked on me. We do eat poison a lot in this country. Like we went to Europe for at Christmas time, not to brag, but we went to Europe. Anyway, we went to Europe and I ate like a fat cow the entire time over there. It was just pastries and sausage and everything. And I lost like 10 pounds over there. It doesn't happen here.
You know, a lot of people say that there's a big difference in what ingredients are allowed over in Europe versus here. That is absolutely true. However, we don't live in Europe. We live here. And the FDA is in charge of everything, unfortunately. So we have to be careful about what we put in our bodies. Now, I wouldn't call myself a health nut, but this is what happened to me, Jesse, okay? My husband decided he was going to start doing the carnivore diet in January of 2023. And he wanted to lose weight at first, but he realized he had MS, clinical depression, and you know, he was very overweight. And he realized about 6 months after he started carnivore, they did an MRI, and the report came back that the lesions on his cervical spine were now undetectable. And he's like, hold on a second. So not only did it take away all the symptoms of his autoimmune disease, his eyesight improved. He lost, now it's almost 200 pounds. His clinical depression that he'd been battling with his entire life is reversed. He's happy. And I said about 4 months in, all right, well, I'm going to do this too. And then I started studying, because as you said in the beginning, I get into something and that's it, it's over. And the benefits of this are absolutely amazing. I feel better than I have my entire life on this way of eating. And it's like a lifestyle. Like, you know, you go to the doctor and my triglycerides are cut in half eating only butter and meat and eggs and bacon. And I'm happy that way. And it makes you feel better. You get better sleep. Your sleep apnea goes away. Like I reversed a health condition myself. I'm not on pharmaceuticals anymore. So what happens? The government comes in and tries to ban meat, or make you scared to drink raw milk, or make you scared to eat, you know, your steak rare, which is the only way to eat a steak ever. Don't even send me something well done. So you should try it, Jesse. Really, you should get on board. You should.
You know, I do eat a lot of steak, for your information, Tracy, and I do eat it medium rare, because I am not as much of a caveman as everyone says I am. Tracy Beans, you are the best. Go read Tracy's stuff. Thank you, Tracy. All right. Now, let us chat, shall we? We have a lot to chat about. Before we get to that, let's talk about coffee. Even Tracy would be okay with coffee, especially blackout coffee. Blackout coffee is so good. I drink it black, but it's still. And look, maybe you prefer regular coffee like I do, but they have all kinds of flavored coffee. If that's your thing, you want a little cinnamon, they've got that for you. They deliver it to your front door, but more importantly than all that, they share our values. This is a coffee company that talks about God, America, guns. How great is that? You can't find these companies out there now, but Blackout Coffee's there. 20% off your first order. BlackoutCoffee.com/Jesse. They'll deliver it to your front door. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's been fascinating to watch is after October 7th, that big raid, Hamas raids Israel and whatnot, how that is transferred over here to America and how it's created all these different proxy wars with all these different factions on the left and right here in America. It's been fascinating to watch. You know, it's not really something I harp on a lot. I focus more on debt and immigration and things like that. I try to keep, you know, bigger things, but it's impossible not to watch it. And it's wild that something can stir that many different emotions in people. Anyway, talk about that and other things. Joining me now, Lisa Reynolds, producer of The Culture War. Also for our purposes today, she's a former congressional communications director. Lisa, before we get into that portion of it, don't you find it fascinating the different factions on the left and right with clear biases? I mean, everyone denies they have them, but clear biases have popped up all over the place. It's been crazy to watch.
Well, it has been crazy to watch, and thank you for having me. But it has been crazy to watch because there's always been the right and left culture war going on right now, and we are seeing it, both of those split off into their own little culture wars, which I find absolutely fascinating. And you nailed it today in your tweet with a list of sides and things that people are taking. I think that. I think that a lot of people forget that regular normie Republicans, though, aren't having these fights that we're seeing that for those who are perpetually online. I think that that is something that's isolated to, say, Twitter or Facebook or those type of social media sites.
I'm really glad you brought this up, Lisa. This is a great point that actually I was trying to figure out how to put it, and you put it perfectly. I was at two different parties this weekend. No, I'm not some party animal. They were boring neighborhood, old white people parties. But I was at two different parties this weekend. You know, we're throwing horseshoes, and we're grilling burgers. And of course, politics comes up because I'm there and they all want to talk politics with me. And I just let them all talk. And there were conversations about everything, from spending and all of this stuff. Not one person at either of those parties brought up protests on college campus or Israel Hamas or October 7th, not one person. And yet the GOP, it's understandable why the Democrats did, the GOP, it's all they can talk about. It's like nobody, neither party cares about what normal people think, or do they even know what normal people think?
The reason that the GOP is focusing in on this is because, at least in Republican circles, they say the Democrats always fight, they always stick together, they don't fight each other. It's always the Republicans that split off, which is not necessarily true, especially if you worked on the Hill, you see the Democrats say, you guys always stick together. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But they definitely want to highlight how the base feels and how corporate donors feel about this Israel issue and how Biden isn't handling it appropriately and how they're tearing each other apart. That is their goal, is to highlight the problems within the Democrats. So while the average American doesn't care or isn't really paying attention to it, it is those, like I said, perpetually online, that's comms directors' jobs, is to show how the Democrats are terrible for America and even how they have problems with their own party and the fights that they're having.
Lisa, what's it like being a congressional staffer? Is it glamorous? Is it hideous? Is it boring? What is it like? I mean, I've been on the Hill plenty of times meeting with this idiot congressman or that idiot senator, but I've never been a staffer up there. What's it like?
It's like Veep. I mean, like, if you've ever seen Veep, it's that ridiculous, but it's exciting. There's good parts and bad parts, about it, but for the most part, it's, you put your head down, you get your job done. I will say that people give the members too much credit It is their staff that is very much pushing them, making decisions, even showing them who, like, which meeting to take. I mean, the members don't even approve, like, they approve their schedule, but they don't know which request didn't get to them. I mean, the staffers control way more than what the average American thinks they do. And they are absolutely a part of, like, the bureaucracy.
Lisa, let's talk about Democrats for a moment and the divisions that you just brought up within their party. This whole Muslim Jewish thing, it is a problem for Democrats big time. Two-thirds of Jews in this country have voted Democrat. About 99.99% of Muslims, I'm guessing there, vote Democrat in this country. This obviously has turned into a proxy religious war for many, not all, but many. And Democrats have been trying to walk a tightrope with both sides, but they can't, can they?
Well, they're definitely going to have some problems doing it. This is really, I think it's bigger than that. I think it's not just the religious issue. I think it's the culture war issue. It's DEI. So all of these liberals have been pushing DEI, and their main focus is like the colonizer, right? And so for them, Jewish people weren't put in the white people colonizer camp as much, or not highlighted as much. And so there have been lots of Jewish Democrats that have been spending their money on DEI programs and people that support DEI. And then when it really comes time to something like this happening, they're put into the same colonizer camp as regular white Americans, or, you know, British or whatever. And so the problem is growing that way within their party, because they want to stick to these DEI mandates. But now they're one of their biggest donor classes, and the people that they have sworn to protect for almost all of, you know, since like the 1948 at least, you know, they're at odds. They're at odds. And we've had an influx of Muslims that they've let in under these DEI programs. I mean, they're really, their backs are up against the wall, especially because, like I said, so many of the Democrat donors are Jewish and are not happy with this, but their base, if you look at the polls, has dropped support for Israel almost 50%. I think they're polling under 50%. So they are definitely going to see a problem come November if they don't pick a side either way. Either way, it's bad for them, and it's their own fault.
Republicans suck too. I know that's not exactly breaking news to you, but this whole Mike Johnson thing, Lisa, I just can't be emotionally invested in it either way. People ask me, do I care if he stays or goes? Why would I care? He's useless if he stays. If he goes, the next guy will be useless, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. I only like Congress when they weren't even meeting, when they didn't have a speaker. So why should I care about this?
Oh, I'm all for the shutdowns. Like, it goes to show exactly what we don't need. Like, that's the kind of person I am. As far as Mike Johnson goes, I was actually very encouraged and very happy that we had somebody who was so openly Christian, so openly, you know, for Jesus, in a leadership role. However, you know, once you get in that position, I think a lot of people forget that we're always like oust the rhinos and get rid of the rhinos. But those rhinos are rhinos because their district is made up that way, right? Like, they have people that are more moderate, or there's a lot of Democrats and Republicans, and they're trying to, you know, mend that, those, you know, ideas together, or what those people want in their district together. And Mike Johnson has to do the same thing for, you know, all of his members of Congress. And so a lot of Republicans, from what I'm hearing, because I still talk to people that work on the Hill, really don't like the way he's handled a bunch of the latest negotiations on bills and things like that. And he didn't hold his promise. But anybody in that speaker role, I hate to say this, is going to do that. That's kind of what the swamp does to you. It sucks you in, and, you know, you have to make these decisions based on what the makeup of the electorate looks like, I guess, or what the makeup of the members look like. I don't think that if you put anybody in that position, they're going to be that much different than Mike Johnson. I know that the Republicans are sick of the continual ousting, but for the most part, you're just going to get another Mike Johnson.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're all Johnson then. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it. All right. The border. I promise you we're going to talk some illegal immigration, and we will. Before we get to that, I want to talk to you about something. So I have this thing. I am traditionally a pretty good sleeper. Not as much as I get older. I guess it happens, but I'm a pretty good sleeper. But I've always had this thing about me. If I take something to sleep, it doesn't matter what it is. No matter what I take, whatever is supposed to help you sleep, I will wake up the next day and I will be a mess. It would be better if I pulled an all-nighter than to take anything to sleep. And I mean everything I've ever tried in my life, you name it, I have tried it. I'll sleep for 14 hours and I'll wake up half dead like an angry grizzly bear. And I can't seem to shake the fog out of my head. And then I found Beam. Beam is the greatest freaking thing ever. They have this dream powder. It's all this natural stuff, right? This dream powder. And what I do, I've done it the last two nights. I take just a little scoop of it and I pour it in a little glass of milk, microwave it 30 seconds. I stir it. And as I'm sitting there talking to my wife, whatever, in bed, watching a documentary, I just sit there and sip on it. And I have the cinnamon, the chocolate. It's basically hot chocolate with cinnamon, and it's the kind I have. And it's the best tasting thing in the world. But setting that aside, you just kind of drift off to sleep. And you wake up 8-9 hours later, and I feel like a million bucks. That's why I'm so full of energy today. Go get some dream powder, man. This stuff is amazing. shopbeam.com/JesseKelly. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's chat about the other thing. What other thing? The other big deal. You know, we opened up the show tonight. You remember talking about debt and this debt we're piling on and how fast we're taking all this stuff on. But illegal immigration is the other thing. We wouldn't be the first nation in history to collapse from it. You cannot. It doesn't matter how big and powerful you are as a nation. You cannot take unending numbers of the dregs of everybody's society into your country without collapsing your country. You cannot do it. And the communists have understood this for ages. Have you ever looked up the Cloward-Piven strategy? This is from decades and decades and decades ago. They talked extensively about this. This has been their plan. The Democrats want illegals in the country because they want to destroy the country. Let me repeat that again for all the normies out there who haven't woken up to what's happening. It's not an accident. It's not a whoopsie. They didn't trip and stumble. They didn't do it because they're nice. They want to flood the country with illegals because they know it will bring America down. It's all laid out in the Cloward-Piven strategy. You overwhelm the healthcare systems and the education systems, the financial systems, and you simply collapse the country from the inside. But what can we do about it? Well, there is something we can do. I'm not just out here talking about it. You see, Joe Biden, they're going to roll out Obamacare for illegals.
The dreamers.
25 million Americans, as we stand right now, are uninsured. Biden's are going to roll out Obamacare for illegals. Now, that make you angry? Good, it should. It makes me angry. What can you do about it, though? Well, let me ask you something. Did you show up and vote in the last Republican primary you had? And if you did show up and vote, you should know that already makes you rare. You're already in the top 25%. 25% of Republicans actually show up and vote. So let's say you did show up and vote. Now, let me ask you this. When you showed up and voted in your Republican primary, did you show up and vote just because that's what you do every time? And did you vote for the congressman you currently have? Or did you show up and try to vote out the dirtball GOPer you've had who's been there screwing you over every single time? Did you vote for the guy you watch on Fox News, or did you actually vote for some kind of change out there? Did you show up and vote for Don Bacon?
Hi, I'm Congressman Don Bacon, and I represent the 2nd District of Nebraska, which includes Douglas County, parts of Sarpy County, and soon all of Saunders County, with Omaha being the largest city. Our district has over 2,200 dreamers, young men and women who are part of the very fabric of our community and who, every day, contribute to the overall betterment of what makes our district so good. For 10 years now, we've been ensuring these young adults do not have to live in fear of being deported, but it's long overdue for a permanent solution.
That's Don Bacon from Red, Nebraska. GOP voter after GOP voter, when it comes time to primary, they sit at home. Ah, I can't go. I'm catching the game tonight. Primary? What? What's that? And sadly, that's better than the GOP voter who shows up in the primary, because he shows up and you know what they do. Who's our honey? Who are we voting for? We're voting for Bacon, right? I saw his yard signs and I saw him on TV. He seems so nice. What a nice young man. Let's vote Don Bacon. And you go vote for the same dork you see on Fox News. And then the next week you go home and you read something about Joe Biden giving amnesty to a bunch of illegals, and you scream and yell and you say, who did this? You did this. If you do not participate in GOP primaries and try to oust the person who is currently in office, you are as responsible for the state of this country as any communist. You are. We have to stop excusing our side. It's time to stop complaining. It's time to start getting involved. If I seem hot, it's because we just had a local election here in my town last week. Voting was Monday and Tuesday. And by the grace of God, we were able to mobilize enough people to get this critical local election won. But I showed up to vote at the end of the day. I had 15 minutes left. I had to work. I had to get in there and vote. And the lady told me it was one of two locations in the entire town. She had less than 100 people walk in that day. Disgraceful. We all need to do better. Disgraceful. All right? All right. Lighten the mood. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And yesterday was Cinco de Mayo, and sadly, it was a Sunday, so I couldn't be here hablando all my Espanol for you on the show. But I didn't have to, because, well, we got to walk down memory lane today with the Biden family and all their hablando.
It's faith in each other. Anything is possible. So say it with me. Si se puede, the future is ours. With the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
The Bogotas. Oh, gosh. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.